Do we have an update, Ms. Sarah?
He's preaching for two different preachers today, and then he'll be home tomorrow.
Okay, good. So keep him in prayer, and let's just start with a word of prayer this morning here. Father, this morning, we're thankful for your presence here. We ask your Holy Spirit would work in our midst. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you're concerned about what goes on in our hearts and our lives and how we live. And you're so concerned that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary and give his life, to shed his blood, his innocent blood. Your word tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he needed to pay for my sin, and he needed to pay for the sins of the world. And we're thankful for that this morning. Lord, as your word goes forth, we just ask you to bless it and have it not return void to you as you've promised. Now we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you heard the update on the old woman in the shoe, but they found out that she wasn't the sole owner, and there were strings attached. So there you go. There's the bad joke for the day. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In verse number 20, it says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." Now we read that this morning and we think, Kiza, is that what your Bible says, what I just read? The servant is not greater than his Lord. Jim, does your Bible say that? Tom? Yes. So it's there, plain, black and white. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Obedience is the very best way to show you believe, because the servant is not greater than his Lord. And this is where you and I would say probably 99% of the people of the world run into the problem. Because we run into trouble because we think we are greater in our own minds than our Lord, but we are not. We think that we know more than the Lord does, and we don't. Anybody here memorize this from cover to cover? Oops, I just knocked that off. Anybody memorized it from cover to cover yet? Nope, me neither. And there's things I'm finding every day, and the Lord's proving himself greater than I am. So let's look to the Bible and see some cases of this happening. Let's first of all, let's look at Satan. Satan wanted to be the Most High. The devil, Lucifer, and Satan are the same. And one definition of devil I have here is one who slanders another for the purpose of injury, a calumniator, a gossip monger. And if you need to know how to spell that word, see me later, because I probably got it wrong. So let's just quickly look at some of the names that Satan has. Satan is called the devil, the dragon, the evil one, the angel of the bottomless pit, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, Apollyon, Lucifer, Abaddon, Belial, Beelzebub. But Satan and the devil are the names most frequently given to him. Now, how would you like to have that on your resume? All those names on your resume. But if we were truthful, when we make out a resume, we're probably a lot more like the devil than we really want to admit. Because we always tell the truth on our resumes, right? Yeah, I hate resumes because they want you to puff yourself up, and I don't want to puff myself up. I'm already puffy enough. So Satan and the devil are names we frequently use. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. Keep your hands or your ribbon or whatever there in John 15. We'll come back there a few times to save you some trouble. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's the devil's job, to seek and destroy. We're going to look in Revelation chapter 12. I've kind of outlined that, called it the ministry of Satan, but you can call it what you want. We have in Revelation chapter 12, we have the story of, it's actually the nation, the woman, the nation of Israel. But I think it applies to us as believers as well. And we'll just look here. And let's start reading in verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And we know that is the nation of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail grew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which he was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So the first ministry we see Satan has is to devour. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, and there she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. There's his second ministry, deceiving the world. He was caught out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's his third ministry, accuser of the brethren, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And we're going to come back to verse 11, but let's just skip to 12. Therefore rejoice in heaven, and all ye that dwell in him. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the end of the sea. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast upon the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the child. The fourth thing he does is persecuteth. So he devours, he deceives, he's the accuser of our brethren, and he persecutes. These are the outcomes of his ministry. But let's go back to verse 11 because that's very important. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. He knows he has a short time. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11:14. It says there, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. But the servant is not greater than his Lord." Let's turn to Isaiah 14. And we'll park here for a little bit. 14, chapter 14, verse 13. I will start at verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" So we see there a little bit more of the character of Satan, and he definitely wanted to be in charge of the Lord. He wanted to make sure that he was greater than he, because he had that big eye problem. He looked at things and, I will. And I think we all have that problem somewhat. And Satan is an angel created by God. He is not an eternal being. He's created. Satan rose up in pride and rebelled against God. And the demons are angels who join Satan in rebelling against God. And this, I want you to get this point if you get nothing else today. Satan is the source of the first sin. Satan is the source of the first sin. Satan is at war with God and seeks to destroy humanity. Satan's demons are powerful, but not all powerful like God. Hell was enlarged for Satan and his demons. Satan, the destroyer. Satan is a destroyer. Satan is the source of the first sin. Satan is the destroyer. And then we have, as we saw there in verse 11, in Revelations, the deliverer, Jesus Christ, is humanity's sole rescuer from Satan, God's wrath and sin and the lake of fire. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And we know a lot of the story about creation, and there's probably nothing new you're going to learn here today, but it's just always good to be reminded of things. Let's start in chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Now remember, we're talking here about the original sinner is trying to tempt Eve. "The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. and gave also unto her husband with her. He was with her when this all took place, and he did eat. She was deceived, but he willingly sinned. And in the eyes of them both were, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that a blessing to know, even though that we're sinners, God seeks us out? Isn't that a blessing? And they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And we just see human nature here that, of course, Eve blames the serpent, and Adam blames, in essence, God, because he says, The woman you gave me, she made me, I took it from her. So is it not your fault, God? That's Adam putting himself as a servant greater than his Lord. Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed God. The servant is not greater than his Lord. And the Lord God, in verse 14, we'll pick it up. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, upon every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And Adam said, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat thereof. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Oh, so we can blame Adam that we have to get weeds out of our garden. Yeah. Thanks, Adam. But you know, we'd been no different if we were there. Because the servant is not greater than his Lord. Let's quick turn to Jonah. Chapter 900, page 943 of my Bible, if that helps you. Probably won't help me either. So we know, pretty well know the story of Jonah, but we'll just highlight some of it. He was to go to Nineveh, and he got in a ship, and he went the other way. And I will say this, he went to fish seminary and got one whale of an education. Sorry, I had to get another one in there. Anyhow, and Jonah went unto Tarshish, went down the ship. A storm came up, verse 15, chapter 1. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. And what we want to point out here again is the servant is not greater than his master. But we also want to point out here that when we sin, it doesn't only affect us. Jonah literally put all these fishermen, these sailors, whatever they were, in jeopardy by being disobedient to God and not doing what God told them to do. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, verse 16, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And then we find, finally, Jonah decides, well, I guess I have to go. Because the word of the Lord in chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go ye unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid. And he reluctantly went, and he didn't have a good heart attitude. Souls were lost and dying in the city of Nineveh. It says there somewhere, if I can find it quick, sorry, that a lot of the people didn't know their right hand, the difference of their right hand between their left hand. So that meant there were a lot of young children. I think it's verse 11 of chapter 4. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So they couldn't discern between their right hand and their left hand. Jessica's not here, so when I was teaching her how to drive, she always, when I said turn right, she would for some reason want to turn left. So we had to say the other right. But so I just squealed on her. You can tell her what I told. But she finally learned and she finally got her license. Amen. So that was a success. But the servant is not greater than his Lord. And we know the story, I think, of the gourd and whatnot, and we won't go into that, but it disturbs me that Jonah didn't care about those souls. All those people in the city of Nineveh, and he was just trying to be greater than his Lord. God sent him there for a purpose. Do we have that heart? I want you to look inside. Do we have that heart for lost souls that we need to have? Will we be like Jonah and be complaining about the gourd instead of God's blessing? I'm afraid I might be. But he finally did in obedience. Did what the Lord asked him to do. But we need a heart for those who are dying and going to hell. Do you have that heart? You may be here this morning and not even be saved and don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. But the servant is not greater than the master. And to me, we had three very poor examples, if you will, pathetic examples, in Satan, in Adam and Eve, and in Jonah, of people who think the servant is greater than the Lord. Jonah put at risk the lives of all the people on the boat, all the people in Nineveh that repented. Jonah put that all at risk. But I'm glad his Lord was greater than him. This is where I say the rubber hits the road. Are you the servant that is greater than his Lord? Has the Lord led you in a certain direction? Might be full-time ministry. Could be youth ministry. Could be kids ministry. Sunday school teacher, could be deacon, or it could be just 100% sold out to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Accept Christ as your Lord today. There will be nothing better you ever did in your life, believe me. Has the Lord led you in a certain direction? We have a problem. With giving the Lord control. We have that problem. James chapter 4, verse 7. If you'll turn there, please. Probably most of you know this by heart. It's always good to look. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. This is our problem. That little word there in verse 7. Two words, if you will, submit yourselves. We need to submit ourselves. We need to submit ourselves. We need to submit ourselves. Yes, we need to submit ourselves. How many of you ever heard this verse quoted? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, that's a misquote of that verse, isn't it? Because it's not the whole verse. The devil's not going to flee unless you submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee. Looks like we're going to be done a little early today, but we'll give you a little more time to fellowship. Submit, submit, submit. Submit unto salvation, or submit to the will of God in your heart and life. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we'll flip back there to John. John 15. I'm going to read first. verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than that is that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I know it's been a little short. But I know also, Lord, that hearts need to be dealt with. We all have that problem of submission, myself included. We all at times make ourselves greater than our Lord. Think we are, but we never are. And we all have a problem with submitting. Submitting for salvation or submitting ourselves 100%. To the Lord and what he wants us to do. If there be someone here this morning that needs to be saved, that you'd speak to one of the men, myself, any of the men here would gladly show you, any of the ladies would gladly show you, ladies. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and nobody's looking around. I'm the only one with my eyes open. Has God dealt with your heart? Do you need to submit for salvation? Do you need to submit as a Christian? Do you need to put God first in your heart and life? People need the Lord in more ways than one. You say, Brother Ron, yes, pray for me. That's all I want to do is pray for you. If you put your hand up, I will pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning God spoke to? I need to submit. I need to do what God wants me to do. Okay, I see that hand. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, again, we're thankful for that hand. We just ask, Lord, you'd speak to the heart of that individual. And Lord, we love you and we thank you and we know you love that individual as well. Lord, we're not here to play around. We're here to serve the living God. We're thankful today for that opportunity now. Bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a psalm. 318 in the red book.